The BBC presents My Music, a musical panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Schreier. And here's Steve Race to introduce the team.
Hello. Here once again are Mr. Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton competing in musical knowledge against Mrs. David Franklin and Frank Muir in front of a packed, bemused audience. A round of orchestral items, as usual, to begin. One for the title and an extra mark for giving the composer. Total two, then. We begin with David Franklin. That's the best corny tune ever written.
Yes, and it's called Da 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 Tiara.
Oh. Well.
Two marks.
I can only accept Caprice Italian. Italian.
Well, that's another way of saying it.
It is really, yeah. Well, you say it your way, I say it my way, I get the mark, you don't, don't worry. Do you know the composer?
No.
No. Tchaikovsky.
Really?
No marks, I'm afraid. We move on to Dennis for a piece of music. This one, of course, David Franklin knows, but it's not his turn.
Yeah. I believe this was the song that ran through a marvellous French film called Carnet de Bal. Wasn't it this one?
It's not. No, it's a bit like it, but it's not the same tune, no.
Oh. Well, then I'll now read out Ian's answer, which is Valse Triste.
Right.
You want the do an after sales service for the composer.
No.
No. I think we'll stick. Yeah.
All right, one mark for Valse Triste. Anybody in the audience know the composer?
Yes.
Sibelius, thank you. Yes, Sibelius would have been the other mark. Ian, your turn. I'd rather say it than spell it, personally.
De Falla. Does that mean yes or no?
It means no, actually.
Then perhaps it's Villa-Lobos.
No, no, it's before either of them.
But it's Spanish music.
Spanish music, yes.
Yes.
Just say, Espanol. Espanol. Something.
No, it's not. No, I'm not going to waste any more time.
No, you won't even say Espanol, will you? Because Dennis wanted you to.
Oh, yes, I would say Espanol, but
it's not good enough, I'm afraid.
I didn't think it was. It's not Moskowski, the German who wrote.
No, we really
Spanish
can't
dance.
Ramble through any more continental composers, can we? Capriccio Espanol by Rimsky-Korsakov. No marks, I'm afraid. Frank, no.
Yes. It's Rossini.
Yes.
It's an overture.
It's Rossini, it's an overture, yes.
And the candelabra.
It's
an overture.
The what?
The Gazza.
Just say it.
The call celebre. The Gazza. The Gazza. The Gazzaladra.
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 Well, is it?
No, it's Semiramide.
But at any rate, he didn't show us up by asking whether the audience knew it.
I knew better than that, yes. Some people like to call it Semiramide anyway. You got one, you saved one mark for Rossini.
Well, I like to call it.
So each side got each side got one mark in that round, so we're off the ground. Round of questions on general musical knowledge. Or lack of it, for two marks. David, in France and Germany, they know it as cutlets. Borodin, Rimsky-Korsakov and Liszt wrote variations on it. What do we call it?
Cutlets?
Yes, cutlets. As in knife and fork, you know, cutlets.
My lips are sealed.
Well, I'll give you a hint. It's a piece that that Dennis Norden has played on the piano many times.
Oh, chopsticks.
Thank you very much, yes.
Actually, Steve, in China, it's known as knife and fork.
All right, two marks for David. And, Dennis Norden, your turn. What do musicians mean, please, by hairpins?
Hairpins. All that occurs to me is a song that goes, "It only happens when I dance with you." What is, it's obviously some kind of, you know, I wish I could read music. I wish I could read. Crescendo. Crescendo e... I think it's diminuendo coming up now. Yes, diminuendo. Yes. Crescendo and diminuendo. There's a drawing, and it doesn't look at all like hairpin. Oh, actually, yes, it does in a way. Yeah. It's like two sharks approaching. Two crocodiles approaching. With their mouths open.
Hairpin with a very sharp corner bit. Yes, so they call them hairpins because that's what they look like when they're written on music. Crescendo and diminuendo signs. Two marks there. Long last. Ian, in which musical suite would you find Jumbo's Lullaby and the Gollywog's Cakewalk, and who wrote them?
Written by Debussy.
Yes, remark.
And we would find them in the Carnival of Animals. No, you wouldn't.
Somebody might have...
I love these Christmas
rolls. It's a toy.
It's terrible, isn't it? It's on the tip of the tongue, I know. Hmm? Not quite, no. It's to do with... What sort of people would enjoy this? Music. This kind of
children.
Music. Yeah. Children's. Children's Corner Suite. I think you're lucky to get 1.5 out of 2 there, but you're right about the music.
Thank you.
Frank, speaking as a keen student, as you are, of correct musical terminology, how would you describe pushing a bow and pulling it?
It's a nervous gesture before giving an after-dinner speech. Well, it's a bowing. Yeah, there are two forms of bowing. There's a play about it called Bowing Bowing. Upstroke and downstroke. Up bow, down bow.
Now, that's better. That's absolutely correct. Up bow, down bow.
Long bow and cross bow. Different bow.
Now a round of good old traditional British songs by Jingo. You'll hear them sung without the title line. For two marks, can you tell me simply the title, David?
And this is the burden of his song forever used for me. I care for nobody,
nobody cares for me. Nobody cares for me. I'm Brannigan.
Yes, but actually, just the title of the song I wanted.
Just the title of the song.
The Mill of the D, or the Sands of the D, or the Mill and the Fluff.
Be advised by your friend, David.
Oh, it's the Miller of D.
The Miller of D is two marks for your side.
And one for Owen Brannigan.
Okay, well, I never asked for the name of the singer. Dennis, here's one for you.
Long may the keel row. Or just the keel row.
The keel row for two marks. Ian, what's the title of this?
The North Country made up to London has strayed, although in her nature it did not agree. She will
Racking your tree, yeah. Brains.
North Country.
Pick a couple of your favourite trees.
South Country.
No? Pick a couple of your favourite trees.
The oak and the ash and the bonny birch tree. Yeah.
I'm going to get in terrible trouble the way I help you. Two marks. All right, now help Frank as much if he needs it, but he won't. Frank, your turn.
It's called Heads of Oak. Hearts of Oak are our men.
Heads of Oak are our officers.
I think it was written by David Garrick. I can't think why. No, down on your answers.
It's written by a chap who wrote so many of the best songs are none, I think. Two marks there. David and Frank leading at the moment by a mere half mark.
Well, for the benefit of those overseas listeners who have the metric system, 50 centimes.
Here's a new kind of question for us. For over 30 years, Oscars have been awarded by Hollywood for the outstanding song hit from a film in each year. Here are four of them, one for each of you. A mark for the film title, and a mark, please, for the name of the star in the film. So it's the name of the film and the star of the film we want. And here's the first for David.
Three coins in a fountain.
Yes, for a mark.
The name of the star.
Yes, one of... I've got three down here.
Dorothy...
Three stars?
Clifton Webb.
Clifton Webb.
That'll do for the other mark, yes. Three coins in the fountain.
And there's a good-looking fella. My wife rather liked.
Rossano Brazzi, yes, Clifton Webb. And poor little Dorothy Maguire that neither of you remembered. Anyway, Clifton Webb is right for the name you gave. Two marks there.
For a moment, I didn't think I was going to get that one.
Dennis, name of the film, name of the star, please.
About singing, that's Sinatra.
Yes.
Who's
Sinatra?
Frank Sinatra. I believe it was written by the same book who wrote Three Coins in the Fountain. Isn't that also a Sammy Kahn number? I think.
It doesn't say Sammy, but I think so.
And it came from a film which was based on the life of Joey Lewis. The Joker is Wild.
Yes, Joker is Wild. That's right. Frank Sinatra. Two marks. Ian Wallace, the film and the star, please. Do you know the film?
It's a film starring Laurel and Hardy. It was called Bonnie Scotland. But we have collaborated during that beautiful bit of orchestral music. We think the star was Doris Day and that the film was Calamity Jane.
Yes, Doris Day, Calamity Jane. One mark each, total two. Good. Mr. Muir, film for you.
Hello. Maybe it's cold outside.
Yeah, it's not the name of the film, though.
No, it isn't, is it? I'll tell you what, I didn't see the film it came from, either.
Well, would you like some help?
Yeah, such is the answer, yes.
Well, near enough. I just feel rather guilty. I've helped Ian rather a lot, so I think I ought to help your side. If you had been able to know, if you'd known the name of the swimming star, you would probably have got the title of the film.
There's only one swimming star.
Yes, quite. Yes, exactly.
Fred, Esther Williams.
Well, yes, I'll give you a mark for that. Now the name of the film. Well, you could guess on a bit. Neptune's Daughter was the name of the film. Questions about opera. For 3 marks, David, in which opera did the composer change the setting and locale of his already completed work, for political reasons, from Sweden to Boston, Massachusetts, and his leading character from the King of Sweden to the Governor of Boston? It's a hard one, but...
It's an impossible one.
Well, no, I mean, if you like, I'll give you the composer.
Yes.
It might help you along the line. Verdi.
Oh, yes. The
You can do it, boy. You can do it.
He's working his way towards
the Masked Ball.
Yes, that is correct. Yes.
It's a hard one.
Ballo in Masquerade. Yes, Masked Ball. A hard one, and you jolly well deserve your 3 marks there. Good. Dennis, in which opera by which composer does the heroine know that she will be killed by the rays of the sun if she allows herself to fall in love? She does, and the sun kills her.
Ian, you know, this is really your pigeon, you know.
It's one of those things that has been said before in this series that if you don't sing in the operas, you don't necessarily know much about the ones that are on the nights you're at home.
I think we'll give you
Let's start.
I think you could work out who was likely to be killed by the rays of the sun, which is the title of the opera. Anyway, the composer I'll give you, Rimsky-Korsakov.
Right.
Quiet audience, please. Just
now, the first question is, who's Rimsky? Who's Rimsky-Korsakov and what is his racket?
What does he do?
Well, he's a Russian composer, and he was the father of Russian opera.
I really must call a halt, because he wasn't that bad. I must call a halt. The person who was likely to be killed by the rays of the sun was the Snow Maiden.
Oh,
fairly
oh,
obvious,
yeah.
I think. I really can't give you any marks there at all. She fell in love with a rich merchant and presumably just melted in his arms. Anyway, we move on to
Icicle Built for Two. The aria.
It's always happening this year, and having addressed you for 10 minutes, I now find myself asking you a question. It's always happening. It's your own turn now. Duplication of opera plots by differing composers seems to be inevitable, but which operas by Mozart and Rossini, respectively, use the same, or many of the same, characters?
The Barber of Seville by Rossini and The Marriage of Figaro by Mozart, because they are all both plays.
That's
by Beaumarchais, indeed.
Yes,
and the Barber of Seville is the early part of the history of these characters, and the Marriage of Figaro is the later history.
They are the characters in common between two operas, Barber of Seville by Rossini and The Marriage of Figaro by Mozart. You've got 3 marks. Frank, which famous classical opera translated almost literally means "all women do it"?
This is Cozy Fanny Tut.
There's a quick answer for 3 marks. Yes. Who wrote it, please?
Ah, you didn't ask that, though, did you?
No. Who wrote it? But your mate knows.
Cosi fan tutti was written by Mozart.
Yes. That's a very posh way you have of saying his name. Good for you. 3 marks. The overture to an opera usually conveys the flavour of the opera itself, and often some of its themes are included. From the following Gilbert and Sullivan operas, overtures, can you give, for 2 marks, the title of the opera concerned? David.
Speaking as one who is treading on very unfamiliar and very dangerous ground, we think.
Thank you.
We think that it's the Mikado.
Yes. This is the Mikado.
That was the 100-to-1 shot that came home.
Two marks there, so Dennis Norton knows that the answer to the next one at least won't be the Mikado. Anyway, here's your overture, Dennis.
People get so offended if you don't know Gilbert and Sullivan, don't they, in this country?
Mm.
Yeah? Every pirate... No, it doesn't sound piratey, does it? Not really. Name a Gilbert and Sullivan. Take any opera.
Have a go at the pirates.
No, sorry. No, I can't give you another go on this. There's a couple in the third row of the audience who are absolutely adoring these Gilbert and Sullivan bits. They don't want to talk, they just want to hear the music all the time. I'm sure they know it was the Gondoliers. And no marks there. We move on, Ian, to your turn. Another overture. It isn't the Mikado or the Gondoliers, is it?
No, and it's not the Pirates either. Because it's Iolanthe.
No.
Well, then it's the Yeoman of the Guard.
Well, second choice, one mark out of two. Two is fair enough, isn't it? One mark there.
I knew it was one of those about London.
David whispered to me, it's the Dam Busters.
Frank, if you haven't been dozing through the last 2 minutes, you might even have heard the name of this overture. Anyway, it's your turn.
The Yeoman of the Guard.
No.
Pirates of Penzance.
You go for the Pirates will go for you. Yes, the Pirates of Penzance is right for two marks. Now for the valiant vocals bit. Graham Daly plays a variety of instruments. He starts the tunes. Will you please continue them, the songs, with words? For three marks, David.
Out the barrel, we've got the blues on the run.
That's the bit I like.
Sing, tone to rattle, we'll have a cheer.
Low, isn't it?
The roll out the barrel, for the gang's all here.
Gang's all down in his boots.
Roll out the barrel. Three marks.
Dilly dally.
Another key, perhaps, and another tune for Dennis Norton.
Falling in love.
I missed it, didn't I? Did anybody spot the deliberate mistake?
Falling in love with love is play.
I've done it wrong. I never get
it. With the fool. That is, it was love with such a juvenile fancy. Learning to care is just for children at school.
Now, anybody, please.
Dennis Norton isn't the only intelligent and good-looking man playing in a musical quiz anywhere on earth, but he's the only one that's tone deaf.
Well done, Dennis. Only externally. Inside my head, there's beautiful music.
It's marvellous. Inside, I know the feeling. Well, three marks there. Ian Wallace's turn.
Down below, underneath St. James's Park, down below, when you're working in the dark, it isn't half a lark. When you're working in the dark, down below.
Well, 3 marks there. Frank's turn.
What to do about it? Just put out the light and go to sleep. No more.
Daddy's got more keys than a jailer.
No.
No more money in the bank. No cute baby that'll spend. What's to do about it? Let's put out the light and go to sleep.
I should have a megaphone for
you. You should.
Well, that's 3 marks all right. And that, I'm terribly sorry to tell you, brings us to the end of this edition of My Music, in which Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden lose, and David Franklin and Frank Muir win by 5.5 marks. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were David Franklin, Frank Muir, Dennis Norden, and Ian Wallace. Graham Daly was at the keyboard, and the chairman was Steve Ray. The questions were compiled by Edward J. Mason, and the program was produced in London by Tony Schreier.